our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faith, who is the firstborn, who is the witness of, and from Jesus Christ, who is the first begotten of the dead, the faithful witness. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us sing Psalter 414, the stanzas 1 and 7. My people, give ear, attend to my word. In parables new, deep truths shall be heard. The wonderful story our fathers made known to children succeeding by us must be shown. 1 and 7 from Psalter 214. From Scripture we wish to read from the prophecies of Isaiah chapter 40, the first 11 verses. Isaiah 40. Comfort ye, Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, and that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Thus far. Let us now read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. A congregation, we announce yet that Mrs. Gunderson was taken to the hospital this morning. Let us now ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing for this evening hour. Most holy, eternal, all-knowing and all-wise God of the heavens and of the earth, we ask Thee, give us a sincere, an upright spirit. Give us true humility of heart, and that it may not be evil in Thy holy eyes, that we seek to draw nigh unto Thee. Once more, the doors of Thy house have been opened unto us, and it is a testimony that the door of heaven is not yet shut for the night and that forever. Lord, also in the darkening evening, it was evident that there is a pointing unto heaven. There is a tolling bell, and it reminds us, Lord, that there is only one place whence salvation can come from, and that is from on high. It is a reminder that Thou dost call even at these special moments, but a call likewise that today I may die, and tomorrow it may be another. Lord, wilt Thou then grant yet a humble and thankful spirit also unto that young man that was preserved in an accident on the day of yesterday. Thou hast kept him, and Lord, it could have been so entirely different, for Thou did preserve him in such measure that he can still go up to Thy house. May it be, Lord, that his calling will be sanctified unto his heart. Remember also that old widow in the hospital. Thou knowest her condition. Lord, visit her with grace and salvation, and be mindful of her body likewise. Once again we bring before Thee that husband and father still in serious circumstances. Oh, that it may still please Thee to raise him up in some measure, but above all, that Thou wouldest visit him with Thy salvation. Look then upon each and every one, from the smallest even to the greatest. Remember the unborn also. Oh, that Thy Zion may be built from among the rising generation. But, Lord, do not forget the older ones either. Be then with those who listen along. Thou knowest what they all need. We live in a declining time, but likewise our life is hastening to the end. And who can tell who shall be the first one in our midst to appear before Thy judgment seat? Oh, then we must needs be born again. Anything less shall not do, but wilt Thou then yet be pleased to remember us in mercy and to visit each one before that moment comes and it should be too late? Remember Thy Zion, Lord. Thou knowest where they are encamped. Thou knowest their condition, the riddles of their heart, the questions which they cannot solve. Lord, Thou knowest how it is inside and outside, but that it may please Thee yet to lead them a step further, that they may come to know Him and follow on to know Him. For in Him alone is life. Oh, then it must go in that way, as the Baptist has proclaimed, He must increase and I must decrease. And Lord, oh, then that decreasing shall continue
until the last breath, when nothing shall be left of man anymore. Oh, that wonder, if we may be lost in Thee alone, if we may be solved in Thee alone, that we will have that never-ending communion. Lord, look upon us and give us salvation. Remember also the school with the needs and the wants, the meeting that shall take place in this week. Give help, give leading, and give yet unity, a bowing under Thy word and a cleaving unto Thy word. For, Lord, the concerns indeed are many, that now most of all those concerns may be brought upon the knees in the inner chamber. And wilt Thou then yet work deliverance? And, Lord, as Thou didst begin this work so many years ago already, when that was evidently in Thy favor, Lord, and we must say, we have all sinned everything away. We have no merit and no claim, no worthiness. But, our Lord, do not forsake the work of Thy hands in that regard. May there be dependence upon Thee for the outward provisions. But then even more, Lord, may there be dependence upon Thee for what is needed in the souls of the students, of the board, of the teachers, of all those that work and volunteer. Ah, that it may be according to that old doctrine, according to godliness. And wilt Thou then yet give that there may be fruit upon all those labors? And, Lord, wilt Thou then draw unto Thyself, and that Thou wouldest help and save? Look upon our nation, the province, and so many other concerns, that Thou wouldest give true conversion even in the highest levels of those that govern us, and that there may be a returning unto Thee. Lord, remember us then in this evening hour. We stand before it, but hitherto Thou hast supplied, and Thou art so faithful, Thou art so true, Thou art so mindful of those who cannot do anything of themselves anymore. It is time and again that Thou needest to teach us, without me ye can do nothing. Our Lord, and the shortcomings are always on our side, but that it may be dependent on Thy grace in this evening hour. Oh, wilt Thou then chase away whatever can hinder? Wilt Thou remove any obstacles that no buyers and sellers were allowed to enter the sanctuary? And surely that they would not be allowed to enter our heart. Thou knowest, Lord, how little a thing can be used by that wicked prince of darkness to cast Thy servants upside down. But wilt Thou now come and prevail, that Thou wouldest give us an hour in Thy favor in this evening, that it is about Thee and the leadings of Thy people, and that those who are unconverted may truly become jealous, that they go home with a breach in their heart, with that void, with that ache, with that pain, and that they must say, Lord, that is what I miss. Thou hast a happy, a blessed people, and I stand outside. Our Lord, wilt Thou then give that sinners may be plucked from darkness, yet be translated into the kingdom of Thy dear Son? Lord, have mercy then upon us. Provide Thou strength outwardly, but especially inwardly. Oh, that the power of the Spirit may yet appear. Grant us that fresh oil. Grant us, Lord, that joy in magnifying thy blessed name. Lead us into the truth, Lord. We stand before it. And what we have meditated upon, we cannot bring it back to memory. We cannot give it life and we cannot give it light. We cannot give it any authority, no power. But Lord, for Thee, Thou hast but to speak and it is, to command and it stands firm. Blessed King of Zion, have mercy upon us, and that Thy name would have all the praise in this evening. For Jesus' sake we ask. Amen. Let us sing together Psalter 381. This stanza 2, 3, and 4. 381. This stanza 2, 3, and 4. I cried to Thee, and Thou didst save. Thy word of grace new courage gave. The kings of earth shall thank Thee, Lord, for they have heard Thy wondrous word. Yea, they shall come with songs of praise, for great and glorious are Thy ways. For great and glorious are Thy ways. 3, 2, 3, and 4 of Psalter 381.
The work thou hast for me begun shall by thy grace be fully done.
We have sung those lines together, congregation, but that is now what we need on the way to eternity. God's work in our soul, God's work for our soul, God's work applied unto our soul. Not our own work, but only God's work has value for eternity. He, and He alone, must begin that work, and otherwise it shall not see the light of day. But if now the Lord begins, then He shall also perfect it, then He shall continue it until that He has finished what He has begun. Oh, that is what we have also heard from that poet. The work thou hast for me begun shall by thy grace be fully done. For the Lord's mercy endureth forever. And what do you hear then at the end of that psalm? What do you hear then out of the mouth and out of the heart of that poet who knew that it was God's work in his heart, who had received that trust that the Lord would also finish it for him? Ah, he says, forever mercy dwells with thee. O Lord, my Maker, think on me. Do you see how God's people end their journey in poverty with a petition? They cannot hold on to anything themselves but what the Lord grants them. They cannot receive anything except that which the Lord gives unto them. O Lord, my Maker, think on me. And now something of that work of the Lord in the heart of lost sinners we wish to consider with you this evening, and maybe then be given by light from on high to examine how it is in our heart on the way to eternity. The text is from Isaiah 40, verse 11. Isaiah 40, verse 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. So there we have the good shepherd and his work. And that is a threefold work, as it is described in the text. It is first of all that loving care for his flock. It is that loving care for his lambs. It is that loving care for those that are with young. So the good shepherd and his work. And that is loving care for his flock, loving care for his lambs, and loving care for those that are with young. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. Need we inquire who is meant by he? He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. Is it not the only Savior whose coming was repeatedly announced by Isaiah
Already in the early chapters, oh, he has spoken about it, that, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. You can trace out the rest for yourself. Time and again, it is as if Isaiah saw with his own eyes that Christ was promised, that Christ was born, that Christ labored, and that Christ also suffered. But also in the chapter that we have read together, it is evident. What do we hear in verse 3? The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness. And who else is that but John the Baptist? And he said, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And to what purpose was John now the forerunner? For this, that the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. In other words, congregation, Isaiah also speaks about the Messiah in our chapter. And he says in verse 10, behold, the Lord will come. And how shall he now come? He shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. When Christ shall come, and shall have finished all his labors, he shall come once again in the youngest day, and then he shall come to punish righteously all the wicked, but he shall also have a gracious reward. And it is about that gracious work especially that our text speaks in this evening, the Good Shepherd and his work. Oh, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. The work of Christ is varied. That cannot be included in one image. And therefore the Lord so graciously has given us various images, various names of the Savior, to reveal more of the fullness of his person, of his work, and of all his benefits. Here he is placed before us as the shepherd. And who will not think then of what he testified himself in John 10? I, with emphasis, I am the good shepherd. The Apostle Peter also speaks of him as the chief shepherd and the bishop of our souls. And he spoke that unto those strangers that walked through the wilderness here below. They needed, and they were promised, a shepherd. The Apostle Paul in the last chapter to the Hebrews likewise speaks about him, that he is the great shepherd of the sheep. And by the blood of Jesus Christ, that blood of the everlasting covenant, he has saved them, and he is raised so that he could apply that salvation. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. It is a wonder of love and mercy that there is a good shepherd. It is a wonder of love and mercy that there is a flock. The greatest wonder shall have to become for you and me, whether we are also belonging to that flock, yes or no. Oh, in all eternity he became that good shepherd of that flock. When he promised unto his Father to undertake for them, to care for them, and to purchase them. Oh,
And that good shepherd of the sheep stooped down so low in order to carry out that work of a shepherd. And that work consists now in loving, in caring, in cherishing, and in saving that flock. And then Isaiah cannot find words enough to magnify that only shepherd. He cannot find words enough to declare the worthiness of that good, that gracious, and that blessed shepherd. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. Ah, congregation, he has a flock. And that is no accident, but that is a flock. Because the shepherd cannot be a shepherd without sheep. Otherwise you cannot be a shepherd. You cannot be a king without subjects. You cannot be a husband without a wife. And so that shepherd must needs have his sheep congregation. They were chosen in all eternity. They were loved in all eternity. That is now comprehended in that good pleasure of God triune. They are comprehended in that covenant of grace and reconciliation. And therefore he comes to fulfill that covenant and to answer all the demands of that law. Oh, he came to this earth to purchase them with that great price of his blood. Not gold, not silver, nor any such thing, but his blood he shed. And so he has paid them with the ransom of his own life. He owns that flock. He loves that flock. He is the one who cares in truth for that flock congregation. And now Isaiah's prophecy was being fulfilled because we read that he came to this earth. He came to bleed. He came to die. He answered all the demands of his Father. He did everything that the law required of him. And the curse was laid upon him. He became that curse for all his people. And so, congregation, he could, and he would, and he did all to make that flock his own. And that care he showed to his flock in the past, that care he still shows unto his flock today. And then we come closer to the text. Then we come closer to your and to my heart, congregation. For what does the shepherd now do? It says he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. That word feed is comprehensive. It includes everything that a good shepherd does for his flock. And he includes in that word feeds all he does for the little sheep, for the older sheep, for every sheep from the beginning of his life unto the end of his life. He includes in that word feed the flock that lives here in Alberta, the flock that may live in Africa, the flock that still may live yet in years to come, who knows where upon this earth. It is all the same shepherdly care, because they all belong to his flock. And congregation, that work is such a great work, because it includes so many things. And for our eyes, these things are so difficult. But it is also a continual work, because the sheep require care by day and by night. And now that shepherd never slumbers, and that shepherd never sleeps. It is also a tender work, a loving work. It requires the heart of a shepherd, not that of an hireling, but it has to be the shepherd himself that cares. And if that is in some measure opened up to the sheep of that flock, that work of the shepherd becomes so dear and precious unto them. More than the shepherd himself becomes so precious, so suitable, so desirable. Oh, they find out more and more that work of the shepherd is indispensable for them. And that is now the promise. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. Can you now tell me whether you belong to his sheep or not? Can you tell me whether you are belonging to his flock, yes or no? Is that shepherd your good shepherd? Or do you still follow another shepherd? Oh, that is not really a shepherd in truth, but that is one that leads astray and that leads to destruction. Congregation, we are not speaking now about being sheep in an outward sense. In an outward sense, you all belong to this flock in picture beauty, yes, or another church. But we are speaking now about living sheep. Sheep with grace. Sheep with the work of mercy in their hearts. Oh, they are the ones that are in mind. Do you now belong to that flock, yes or no? How can I tell that? You will ask me. Then you must know of a beginning. You must know of a beginning that you were brought unto that flock. In his abounding and in his merciful love, that good shepherd begins himself. His work, remember, that must begin. For we of ourselves shall never ask after that shepherd and never seek him at all. But what is now the work of the Son of Man? To seek and to save that which was lost. What does the good shepherd now do? He goes with his word and with his spirit, wherever he knows that there is one who belongs to him but still lies there in his lost state. Shall I say that again? That good shepherd goes to every spot where he knows that there is a sheep that is lost and is still lost and cannot ever quicken himself at all. And then you see that good shepherd going to that valley full of dry bones. You shall see him going there to the house of a harlot on the wall in Jericho. You shall see him going unto a man languishing in the prison in Babylon. You shall see him going to Moab. You shall see him going unto the palace of one who has built the golden calves in Dan and in Bethel. You shall see him going to the way of Damascus. You shall see him going to Ur of the Chaldees. There is an idol worshipper. You shall see him going there by the riverside where a group of women are meeting. You shall see him going to the toll booth in the land of Galilee. You shall see him going to the prison in Philippi. There also is one who lies under that seal of election. He goes wherever such a sinner is, in his ruin and in his misery. Our congregation, that is still the way that the Lord works. That good shepherd goes wherever his word is proclaimed and where the Spirit accompanies that word. That is the place where the Lord knows there is one of mine. He brings that word to that sinner, or he brings that sinner to that word. And then when that word is preached, when that word goes out, our congregation, then that word comes with majesty, that comes with power, that comes with that effectual quickening calling that the dead are called to life by God alone. He knows where he must seek his sheep. He knows where he shall find his sheep. I said where that word is proclaimed, yes, we can enlarge it. Where that word also is brought at a funeral or at a marriage service, young people, when that word also comes in all simplicity at catechism class, that is also a place where you can be converted. Shall you bow your knees unto that end and beg the Lord to help the instructors, and that you may ask, Lord, convert me. Use their words also for my salvation. That can come during house visitation, but it always comes with that word, and it comes with that Spirit. Oh, and then when that word is, when that good shepherd is pleased to come with his word and with his Spirit, that word penetrates the heart that needs no permission from you, that needs no you opening the door for Jesus to come in. No, he comes in and he simply begins to lodge there. There is none who can stop him at all. And it is that Almighty Spirit that comes irresistibly. And then he enters into the house of the strong man armed, and he robs him of his prey. He quickens the dead and gives them life. Now, has that happened or not? It is one of the two. Has that happened in your life, or has it not happened, congregation? It can come by a still small voice. It can come as in the case of Lydia, that her heart was opened. It can come in the case of an Abram, get thee out of her of the Chaldees, from thy kindred and from thy father's house. It can come with a thunderclap, as in the case of Saul on the way to Damascus. It can come as with an earthquake in the case of that Philippian jailer. It can come through the simple instruction of a mother-in-law to her daughter, Naomi and Ruth. And you can multiply the examples, congregation. But it is always that the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. For what does the shepherd do? He knows his sheep by name, and he calls them by name. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He knows his sheep, and he calls them by name. And then also this is true. My sheep know my voice. Oh, congregation, once you come to know that voice, you recognize that voice among a thousand. For there is but one who speaks like that good shepherd. And the voice of an hireling, the voice of a thief and a robber, the voice of a shepherd that comes in that comes in pretending to be a shepherd. Oh, that is not the one, and they cannot listen to him. Congregation, has it happened? Because Rahab was converted and Ruth was converted, and you go through the entire list, but that is now precisely the same work that still takes place today. He speaks among the tombs to a legion in Gadara. He spoke to 3,000 on one day in Pentecost. He spoke to that 12-year-old son of Jeroboam. You say all the circumstances against that boy. But the Lord said, there is one of my sheep. And now I go and call him. And I will bring him home as a young age also. But he is mine. You know what they all learn in some measure? My father is an Amorite. And my mother is a Hittite. They know that their origin is cursed. They are children of Adam. They are covenant breakers. They are transgressors from the womb. They are sinners from beginning to the end of their life. Steeped in iniquity, or perhaps filled with self-righteousness, whatever the case may be. But in everything it remains so true that a good shepherd comes and he seeks his sheep. And Ezekiel 34 says that he searches them out. And as he brings them from death to life, then he calls them that are scattered abroad in that dark and in that cloudy day. And he delivers them. Oh, I said it in McLeod this afternoon, and this morning I mentioned some of it as well. What a dark and cloudy day that we have. But that good shepherd still continues congregation. And what does the Lord now do with his flock? He guides them. That also belongs to the work of a shepherd. Because the sheep are so blind and foolish and ignorant. They know not the way that they must go. They cannot fend for themselves. And so they need that shepherd to walk in front of them. And they must learn to walk in his footsteps. And as long as they walk in his footsteps, they go right. He guides them. And how does now the shepherd lead that flock? I said he walks in front of them, but he also calls them. And he speaks to them time and again. And if their one is lagging behind, then he will call that sheep so that he will hear his voice and go closer to that shepherd once again. Because if that is not done, congregation, oh, then they shall wander away, and then they shall be lost. That shepherd with his voice, he leads and he guides. Is it not true? Do you have you never experienced it? That word of God calls, that word of God guides, that word of God gives instruction. That is through the power of that Spirit. What does that good shepherd now do in that work of taking care of his flock? He feeds them. They cannot find the pasture. But the shepherd knows where the pasture is. And he walks in front of them. And sometimes they have to go on narrow paths. They have to go through a dark valley. But he leads them onward until he brings them. And he gives them the fat pastures of Israel. And he gives them to eat and to drink, and that they may lie down by the riverside, and that they have everything. He himself, he gives his word that is food and drink for that people. He declares it unto his sheep, my meat that is my flesh that is meat indeed, and my blood that is drink indeed. That shepherd cares for the rest of his flock because they are but weak and they need to rest enough when they are weary. And then he safely leads them onward and he gives them a little time to lie down.
And what do the sheep then do? Then they shall chew the cud. That means they meditate upon that food and drink. They meditate upon the word that the Lord gives unto them. And then they may receive the taste by renewal. And then, you know what these sheep do? They are animals that belong to a flock. They lie there together. Then the one may have some communion with another. And then they may speak about what they have tasted, that the Lord is good. What they have experienced, that the Lord has guided them. That the Lord has found them in such a lost state. But He came and He quickened them. And He has been caring for them. Does the shepherd even do more for that flock? Oh, no doubt, that is true. What did David do? He was a shepherd, and he testified that he delivered his sheep from a bear and from a lion. Oh, that shepherd has to protect his people. And he never slumbers, he never sleeps, he watches over them. And He will take care that none shall be robbed, none shall be plundered, none shall be stolen, and none shall ever perish. Oh, congregation, those sheep are so helpless, so defenseless in and of themselves. They have no horns to pierce you. They cannot outrun anything. They have no strength to do that in themselves. Oh, if that shepherd were not there by day and by night, then surely we must say it would be a lost case for those sheep. And if they look upward and they see the vultures circling overhead, oh, where can they then hide? But the shepherd is their congregation, and he leads them, and he protects them, and he cares for them. What does that then bring? Where does that then bring those sheep? Close to the shepherd, close to the shepherd. Near him all is well. Is there still more congregation? Oh, that is certainly the case. Because these sheep are not always healthy. No. Sometimes they receive wounds from the enemies. Sometimes their bones are broken. Sometimes they are so scurvy. Sometimes they wound themselves in the thickets and in the bramble bushes when they try to get out anymore, even when they cannot do that. What does He do then, congregation? Oh, He heals what is diseased. And He also strengthens what is sick. He comes and He has a remedy for all the maladies. Oh, there is nothing that sheep can have wrong, or the shepherd knows how to take care of it. And from time to time, those sheep also have to be washed. Because you can imagine when they have that thick coat of wool around them. And they are in the dust and they are in the bushes and they are in whatnot. But then they have to be washed. That wool has to be washed. And then sometimes they will have to be clipped. Yeah. And if you have ever seen a sheep with a nice coat of wool, you say that is quite a sheep. And let then the wool all be cut away. You say, what a straggling little sheep is left. And people of God, that is how it is it not? There can be so much that seems to be something. And when it is taken away for wise purposes, what is then left? Nothing but such a naked, lean, shameful sinner. Ah, congregation. What does the Lord now do? When He cares for His sheep, He corrects them. He instructs them. And sometimes He has to chastise them also.
and send the dog after them in order to bring them back unto Himself. Oh, congregation, it says also that He restores His sheep. For what is now the nature of a sheep wander away, knowing it better than the shepherd. At least that is what they think. But they are silly sheep, says the Bible. Foolish and foolhardy. So stubborn. Oh, they are not goats, no. But sometimes they are as stubborn as a goat also. Stiff-necked. And oh, when they have those wandering feet and they go out of the path. And they do not want to follow the shepherds. Then only ill can befall them. Because they end up in a snare. Or they end up in a pit. They end up in the hands of the enemies. And they have to be delivered, congregation. And when that takes place. And then they cannot ever come back anymore. And then they fear that it is forever lost with them. And if that now happens time and again, children of God, do you listen? How often does it happen? What must the shepherd then do? Break a leg of that sheep so that it does not wander away anymore. That is the love of the shepherd also. Congregation, what is now the task of that shepherd? He cares for them from the beginning unto the end. Are you a sheep, yes or no? Have you examined, as we were speaking about it in this evening? Were you sought by that shepherd? Were you called by Him and quickened from death to life? Do you know of His loving care? Of the guidance in your life? Do you know of the times that He nourished you and that He gave you rest? Has He not protected you? Has He not cared you and brought you back also and restored you unto Himself? Is it not a wonder? And why did He do so? Why? Because of free sovereign mercy. That is now that good pleasure of God alone. Can you say more about it, you ask? Oh, surely. Because what has that shepherd now testified? I lay down my life for my sheep. Oh, and then He gives them life that they may have it more abundantly. That is the reason why He came into this world. He merited for His sheep everything. And in applying those benefits, He shall give them life, and that they may have it more abundantly. Congregation, when that shepherd proceeds to teach and to give that life in the hearts of His people, He teaches them who He is as shepherd for them. That He has placed His life in their place. Whereas they should have died everlastingly. He has taken their place and entered into death. Oh, they are for the account of that good shepherd. But they must perish, yes. They must perish. And if now that eye of faith may be upon Him, then it is well. But if the Lord comes to demand His justice, if the Lord comes to demand of them what they cannot pay of themselves, and if then the shepherd is hidden, congregation, oh, then it is a wonder if that judge will win me over for that case, and that I may lie there before Him. And if I must die, if I must perish, then the Lord doeth right. But it is at that moment
that a good shepherd appears, and he presents unto his Father his perfect finished sacrifice. And then that Father will say, I deliver him from going down into that pit. I have found that ransom. Oh, then that shepherd becomes dearer and nearer unto those sheep as ever before, that he has purchased me, and that wretched, vile, and sinful me. Oh, congregation, do you know whether you are such a sheep? Perhaps you still dare not say it. Perhaps there are still riddles in your heart. You know what Isaiah is given to do. To speak not only in general about the good shepherd feeding his flock. He mentions two special cases. For he is also saying that the good shepherd shall gather the lambs in his arm and carry them in his bosom. That is one. And gently lead those that are with young. That is another one. So that loving care of the shepherd is especially evident in these two cases. Also, in the case of lambs. And what a lamb is, I need not tell you. That is a little sheep. Oh, and what a delightful thing it is to look at such a little sheep, congregation. That is not an old one. That is one newly born. And what shall you hear first from that newly born lamb? A bleating for the mother. A bleating for nourishment and for care. Oh, what a beautiful sight it is when that little lamb may stand, when it begins to walk, and it does not take so long, or it will begin to skip, and it begins to frolic, it begins to dance at times up and down. Little lambs are such a privilege in the flock, and think now spiritually, because those little lambs are so lively. That is that new life. And that those little lambs, they cannot drink so much. But they have to drink so often. And see, that is now the case in those little lambs. There can be a season in your life. And every time you go to God's Word and you receive something when you read. And every time you go to God's house and there is a word that falls inside, or there is a psalter line that strikes you, all that is now that cherishing care of the shepherd for his little ones. That is a blessing that they receive all that care. But do they know so much about that shepherd? No. But they receive the loving care of that shepherd, yes. They do not know so much about him. And yet he is not entirely a stranger, because he cares and he loves and he cherishes them, congregation. Oh, you know what they have to learn? That they are not so strong, and that in themselves they cannot keep up with the flock many times. Those little legs, they cannot so fast as the older sheep. And remember, they do not have that strength of the older sheep. And they will wear out much sooner than the older sheep. Oh, and what does that good shepherd then do? He leads them, yes. He leads them, the whole flock. So these little ones have to go along. And sometimes it is a rugged path. Sometimes it is upon the mountains. Sometimes it is through a deep valley, or even that they have to cross some waters. But his eye is always upon the lambs. And then he will gather them with his arm.
In other words, when he notices that there is a lamb staying behind, a lamb perhaps that cannot stand up anymore, oh, then he turns to him and he kneels down. He does not kick that little lamb, but he is so tender, he is so loving, and it says he shall gather that lamb in with his arm. So in other words, those hands, that arm that is underneath that little lamb, and then that lamb has no strength to walk, and he carries that sheep in his bosom. Mephibosheth was such a man, yes. Was also a little lamb. And he also could not walk. He was lame on both his feet. But did not David send a chariot? Did not David bring him unto his table where he wanted to have him congregation? Most certainly. Oh, these lambs are very foolish. These lambs are not experienced at all. These lambs are often in trouble. And they often are in snares. And they often fall into a little pit and they cannot climb out either congregation. But he gathers them and he carries them. And he carries them not merely in his arms. It says he shall carry them in his bosom. Can we describe it more tenderly than that? When he takes such a little lamb in his bosom, oh, then his arms are around that sheep. And they hear that loving heart of the shepherd beating, beating, beating. That is now the love that the shepherd shows unto those little sheep. You have it in natural life. Who else? Who only can get a crying child to be silent? That is the mother who will take that child in her bosom. And so it is with such a little lamb. The shepherd comes and he takes it congregation. It says he gathers them and carries them. Where does he bring them? To the flock. Where does he bring them? To his word. Where does he bring them? In the pasture of his house and of his word. Where does he bring them? In the place where they receive some rest, instruction, and further care. Ah, congregation, when that love of the good shepherd is shown, they are so overwhelmed with him. And do you not think when they are carried in his bosom, they come to know more of him? Most surely, they do not know how that he lays down his life. But they know his loving care, and they know his loving eye is even upon them congregation. Does it not happen today as well? Come, can you testify of it? Can you now say before the Lord and before men, that is now that loving care of that shepherd even in my life? Ah, congregation, then it is such a confirmation in the life of these little lambs that the shepherd loves them and that he cares for them and that they may rest with him. Oh, they are gathered with the flock, and he strengthens, he nourishes, and he cares for them. Are you such a lamb? Or is that missing in your life? We sing first about that care of the shepherd over his flock. Psalter 55. The Lord, my shepherd, holds me within his tender care, and with his flock he folds me. No one shall find me there. In pastures green he feeds me, with plenty I am blessed. By quiet streams he leads me, and makes me safely rest. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 55.
There is still another part of the flock that requires and receives such special care from the shepherd. We read at the end of verse 11 that he shall gently lead those that are with young. Literally, it says, those that give suck. So, we are not really talking about those that are carrying the young, but those that give suck unto the young. So we are not speaking about lambs. We are not speaking about newborns. We are speaking about those members of the flock that have grown in some measure. But what is now the condition of one who gives suck? What is now the condition also of a mother that cherishes her newborn time and again? Oh, are not those mothers often weak? They cannot sleep, they cannot rest, and every strength that they have, they give in their love to that newborn. So it is a condition of being very weak, not having much strength, and still in that condition being so profitable for others. Those sheep that give suck, those sheep that are profitable unto the young, sometimes are so weak that they can hardly stand on their legs. And let alone that they then have to be walking along with the flock. And now the shepherd cares especially for those that are with young. Congregation, spiritually speaking, these are the members of the flock, not newly born. And yet they are so weak. They have no assurance. They so often are in doubt. They often have troubles. They remain so concerned. They are so small and so weak in their faith and in their love and in their hope. And you know what they have to learn? That they are so lean. Because those that are with young, those that nourish the little ones, they become lean themselves. And they have no strength left anymore. Profitable they are for others, that is true. But for themselves they often cannot see it. They often fear that they stand outside of everything. Oh, they fear that they have not experienced enough. They do not have the knowledge of sin sufficiently. They do not have that strength sufficiently. They are not holy enough. They are not righteous enough. Oh, to believe that they are one of that flock is most of the time too great for them to believe. They are often so timid. They are often so small. They cannot stand up for themselves either. Oh, they know not enough. And as I said, you can sum it up. They are so weak, they often stand outside of it altogether. But congregation, those members of the flock are so profitable for the little lambs especially, because they know some of that weakness themselves. They can say and instruct them with a few words. They know what it is if you cannot walk so fast. They know what it is to stumble so many times. They can understand the little lambs so very well. Ah, and then in that way they do help them. In that way they strengthen them, they instruct them, they feel for the weakness of the little lambs as well. And what happens now with those that feed those little ones? They are so empty themselves. They are so empty themselves. And there is a people that understands it. Because those sheep do drink and or they do eat themselves in the pasture. And yet their strength does not retain. You can receive something in God's house, and before you are home, you say, what is it? And it is gone again. I receive a word and a courage and an instruction, and I would like to have a large store of that. But no, those people, those that are with young, they have no strength left in store at all. They are so often poor. They are so often needy. They are so often wanting congregation. But as I said, they are so profitable. They may carry the light upon their back. They are yet a help unto these others. And seldom can they stand up themselves. Seldom do they go forward. And seldom do you see them talking congregation. They do not perceive it. How profitable they are for others. But what does now the shepherd do? He shall not simply lead them, but it says he shall gently lead those that are with young. That word gently is of course very tenderly. But there is another significance included in this. You read that word when Hezekiah had just been delivered of Sennacherib by that angel of destruction. And then you read that the Lord guided him on all sides. That means this. There had been a dreadful enemy who had threatened Hezekiah's life, his city, his army and everything. And the Lord delivered them. And now the Lord guided them on all sides. So that is a very safe leading. It is a sure leading. It is a leading that they are protected. You find that same expression when Israel had escaped Egypt. And when they come before the Red Sea, and the Lord gently, the Lord safely leads them through that Red Sea, and Pharaoh and his army is drowned. A congregation, he shall gently lead those that are with young. And when the Lord leads, then he cares. But that is now not only of those of the flock, of the living flock that are with young. That is now also a word that applies unto those that are called upon in God's church to labor. Why do you think God's servants that must give suck to this flock so many times are often so weak physically, but spiritually, that they so often are troubled, that they so often feel that they cannot do it, that inwardly that strife and that difficulty becomes so great? Why is it? All the elders and the deacons also can attest to that. That they say, must I go on house visitation? Is catechism class coming up again? Must I now read again and do the prayers again? But then I say this to their encouragement. The good shepherd who has placed them in that work gently leads them that are with young. He cares. He cares. And he shall look after them that they may be profitable unto others. That does not mean that they become thick, fat sheep themselves. That they are strong and that they receive so many benefits. All the strength that they receive commonly go out unto the flock. But what is it now with a father or a mother? And you have some children sitting at the table. And you have one slice of bread yet. And you all are hungry. Do you then eat it yourself? There is no father and there is no mother that really should do that. Then they will give every one of the children a portion as they think is fit for them. And they will go without themselves. And that is now often how the Lord will employ His people in His service. Does He not care for them? Oh, He gives them the hidden supportings. And He shall not let them perish. But He shall let them feel their weakness time and again to their shame. But also to teach them their dependence upon Thee and that it comes all from Him, that good, that great, and that chief shepherd congregation. We have to end. The good shepherd and His work, loving care for His flock, for the lambs and for those that are with young. I ask, shall you examine your life? What is now the answer? Do you know it? Have you received, even if it is but a grain of that work of the shepherd, or do you miss it? Oh, then you can still receive it, because the shepherd is not finished. What must you then do? Go to the places where that shepherd is. And where is now that shepherd? Where he is with his word and with his spirit. Go to the places where his sheep are, his living sheep. Or ask if you may listen to them. Visit them. Be present when they gather in God's house. Who can tell? Because if the sheep are there, then the shepherd is there. And then a wonder can still happen. Do not go out into the world. Not on the Sabbath day. Not during the week either. But try to find the shepherd. Beg from him that he may seek you. And then you shall be found. Read in his word. And ask, Lord, wilt thou speak a word even unto me? And those who are not strangers of that shepherd, here you shall go from pasture to pasture. Here you shall go from resting place to resting place. Here you shall experience many dangers, many toils and many cares, and times that you may rest. But at last, where do the sheep go? Then he folds all his sheep in that fold that is in heaven above. And then the sheep shall ever be with their shepherd. Amen. Gracious, eternal and loving shepherd, give us yet an acknowledging heart. Oh, wilt thou apply the truth? Wilt thou give us that seeking grace from thee, that we may hear thy voice for the first time? And then the sheep shall say, oh, when does the shepherd call me again? Remember us in mercy, forgive all the sins, the shortcomings, and be mindful in the rest of this night. And give each one labors for the coming week also. And Lord, we ask it once more. Wilt thou be favorable with the weather, that the harvest may continue, or that it could even be finished? Give traveling mercies unto those who must travel, and bless us from on high. Give us yet a humble and a thankful heart. What thou hast supplied hitherto, we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.
221.
Great Shepherd, who leadest thy people in love, mid cherubim dwelling, shine thou from above. In might come and save us, thy people restore, and we shall be saved when thy face shines once more. 1 and 3 of 221. Now depart in peace and receive the blessing of the Lord. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.